This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's 603-283-6160. We are talking about the AI chatbots that there's now apparently a sex chatbot out there that is using open source AI technology that is allegedly from Meta, the company that owns Facebook. This model has been released. I don't think Meta intended to release it, but somebody that they shared it with, they shared the source code with some programmers, and one of them released it, as I understand the story. Now somebody has taken that and rolled their own chat sex bot. And we'll talk about
why. Well, why do we have to talk about it? Everyone knew this was going to happen. Why talk about this interesting whole subject as an AI chat box and focus in on this, like, the lowest common denominator?
Because, you know, people, I think it's interesting. I'm not interested in using it, but I think it's interesting to see where this AI technology is going, and we can continue with that discussion.
Like, that's obvious. There's probably way cooler places it could go than... Her name's Allie. She wants to talk about sex.
Well, I think it talks more about the state of society. There's a much larger conversation here than just, oh, well, here's this new technology. Is it? Well, why does this technology exist? What kind of people are using it? Are we going to see...
We should shame people for this.
...this technology being used more widely?
And I think people should be shamed.
Should we shame people? And that's another question we can talk about.
Not for having sexual desires, but for not... Not acting on them with another human, but with a robot, yeah.
I want to come back to that. So bring that back up, Bonnie, when we continue this discussion, because for right now we got to go to the phones here. We've got Mikey calling us from Manchester, New Hampshire, one of the Pariah Club, one of the people who has been banned from the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
You mean dangerous? Dangerous individual?
Is that what they said about him?
They said he should be... considered overly argumentative and dangerous, which I would take him to court.
Wow. I don't know. Who said that?
It was on one of those posters.
I never ended up seeing the poster.
I never saw it in real life. I just saw a picture.
Yeah, there was like a wanted poster, allegedly, up at the campground. Again, we just got back from the Porcupine Freedom Festival over the weekend, and, it was going on for more than a week. But, Mikey, you were banned from the festival. Apparently, according to the organizer who we interviewed, Dennis Pratt, he said that he believed that you were causing trouble in some video conference that they had, even though he didn't have any actual evidence of that. It ultimately seemed to boil down to that you're a bit of a troll online. I mean, that's kind of a thing that you do.
And maybe a little critical of the way that Dennis ran things, yeah, which isn't a crime.
You've been critical, for sure. And so have we, by the way, on Free Talk Live. But apparently, you know, he got upset about you and decided that you were going to be banned. There was no board decision that was made about this. It was just an unilateal decision by Dennis. And so here you are. By the way, I don't think we mentioned this, but you were at the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yeah, that was the best part about Porkfest, was just watching Mikey, model Porkfest citizen, the Jew, walk around. Unrestrained, you know, he wasn't hiding in a
suitcase.
Yeah,
you didn't hide out. Yeah, even though people offered you places to hide, you just walked openly with no disguise through Porkfest, and you were left alone. So what's the latest?
Well, I received a message from Constance about next year, and I understand there was a public post about someone. She did not mention by name. Being banned, or I think it says everyone who is banned this year is again banned next year. And
wow.
There's a whole screed about this whole thing, but it's kind of like passively aggressively not mentioning who the person being banned is. Mm-hmm. So it's all very unusual, and it's crazy because I spent the whole week telling people to give Constance a chance next year, and this is the thanks I get.
You did actually do that. I can confirm that I had seen you make that statement that you were optimistic for Porkfest 2024 because Constance is the new organizer of the event. She was an assistant organizer, sort of the on-site organizer this year. But it was a different gentleman, Dennis, who had done it prior to that. And apparently she's continuing to uphold these bans. Now, I did read the statement that she had apparently made. It was being shared around. And she did make it sound like there was some way to get them to unban you, which I don't know what that would involve. I think they said something about restitution, and I'm like, what could you possibly restitute?
For what?
I mean, how do you restitute somebody for damage? Trolling them? You know?
It's what damage? It's like essentially I'm banned for not agreeing to a ban, but the fact of the matter is no one agreed with them. The ban was totally unenforceable, and
do the people who buy the tickets for Porkfest get any say in this? Hmm. Because I don't think that if everybody in who owned a ticket got to vote on this, I don't think that Mikey would get banned that way. And I think that if they're going to do this, I don't have as strong of an opinion about the Footloose or Rochelle because it does seem that it could have been de-escalated. It could have been their situations could have been talked over and, you know, forgiven. But the Mikey one is just, he didn't do anything wrong, or at least there's no evidence of it. And even if he did what he's accused of, it's definitely something that can be forgiven and talked over. Anyways, I think if he's going to go through with this, I'm not going to Porkfest next year, and I'll make Porkfest a week long right before.
Yeah, I think at this point we may end up. I'm going to keep trying to reach out and negotiate and hopefully mediate some sort of resolution to this.
Okay.
I do like Constance. We've been friends most of the week, and this kind of blindsided me.
Yeah.
But if this can't be resolved, we may have two Porkfests.
Well, Forkfest has been going on. This year was the seventh year. It was formed out of largely some people's disappointment with the direction the Porcupine Freedom Festival had been going. It had, at the time, been going in sort of a more authoritarian direction where there was, like, an active security force there that had, like, a checkpoint when you were coming into the park. And, you know, it was much more restrictive on vendors as far as what they could and couldn't do and, you know, vendor fees and things like that. And to the festival's credit, they have made some changes in recent years that decentralized the festival a bit. They got rid of the sort of oppressive security force, and they don't have the same kind of a lockdown on the park like they used to, although there is still some centralization going on. It's still not a perfectly, you know, decentralized festival as we've seen with this year, with some, you know, some of the controversial decisions that were being made from the seat of the organizer. But I think you're coming at it from the right perspective here, Mikey, and that is to try to make things right. It's just I'm curious to know what that would look like. And I guess you're going to find out, right? Like you're opening channels of communication with the new organizer, and because she had mentioned some sort of restitution. I have no idea what that could possibly mean. I mean, if they believe that
Mikey took services from them by being at Porkfest.
Oh, that whole statement?
Yeah, that's the whole thing that Dennis was saying the year before, too.
Yeah.
About other people.
That's absolutely insane. I mean, I went out of my way to avoid using the porta potties until the regular facilities were shut down. And then, you know, it's either that or go in the woods. And I wasn't about to do that. So.
Right.
I did a few times use the porta potties, and I mean, the only other possible thing, I know she was a little upset that I was at the back of the soapbox idol thing, and I was invited there by the host of that. Other than that, I had no intention of going there, but the host of Soapbox Idol said, like, hey, you should come and do a rant, and I did.
Really?
I ended up not doing a rant, but I was at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was at the back of the room, and so apparently listening to air is you know, a damage. And
well, those are her air vibrations.
I mean, you did have a ticket to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. They essentially refunded that ticket to you. You didn't want them to do that, but they did that as part of the whole we're banning you thing. And one of the things that I thought was the right thing to do with the Porcupine Freedom Festival in 2020, I believe it was the first year that they did this, was they essentially, it might not have been the first year, but it was certainly the first year I really kind of took notice of it, where they weren't checking people at the front. You could go on the campground without having some security guy say, oh, well, where's your Porkfest pass? You got to have your bracelet on or whatever. You could walk around the campground. Like, Bonnie, you and I, we went up, and we have tickets.
Yeah.
But we went up on Wednesday, and we went up on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until Friday that we actually bothered to go to the Porkfest registration booth to get our
bracelets.
In fact, I didn't even know where
it was.
Only because
we were just so busy, like, walking around, and you don't need them to get in and out.
That's the point I'm trying to make here, is, like, you can be in the camping area without anybody going to check you for that sort of thing. And this is an issue that the organizers had brought up as sort of this potentially offensive thing to them, the idea of somebody being in the camping area, paying Rogers to attend for the day without buying their Porkfest ticket, and this idea of theft of services was bandied about at that time. And it's just, it's frustrating because it's like, yeah, okay, they did pay for some porta potties to come in, and the other people at the festival, I guess, are sort of on the hook for that to some extent. But it's just so hard to take on that level of offense about somebody just coming and hanging out at the campground. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. If there were 10% of the Porkfest attendees who didn't have tickets, but they were just hanging out at the campground, and some of them were vending and just making, socializing or whatever, it still makes the event better. They don't all have to go down to use the Porkfest facilities down there in the field in order for them to enjoy the festival. In fact, I think most people probably don't do that. You know, we didn't go see any, I don't think we saw any speeches when we were there, right, Bonnie?
No, we didn't
go to any of the speeches. So I just...
Yeah, you can have our air vibration time, Mikey.
Right past it. Well, right, and that's also something you can do, right? Like, you could take off a wristband and you could put the wristband on somebody else if you wanted to, and no one would know the difference. So I hope this can get worked out for you, but you did mention Forkfest as something that you might want to participate in to a greater extent, perhaps, next year?
Yeah, I think, I'd like to see this resolved and not have any sort of schism at all, but a lot of people are really angry about this situation, about the end of Soapbox Idol, where Jeremy and that participant got into a shouting match, and I think they were both at fault there, and then the guy was supposedly kicked out, and then the whole handling of there was the guy who was the vendor who was assaulted with the crystal by an attendee.
It's really terrifying.
Who was ticketed. And there is a rumor going around related to someone else being threatened with a ban, and I'm trying to get verification of this before, you know, I make any accusations against anyone that, you know, someone's being threatened with a ban that may not be accurate. So this is just out of control, and
that's unfortunate.
Point, you know, it's a year ahead. I'm not sure what direction I want to go, but I think Forkfest is going to be a lot more amped up next year with a lot more people participating, because people are just really unhappy with the way Porkfest is being run.
Yeah, it seems to go that way. And I think it just has to do with, I'm not going to say power per se, because, you know, the amount of power you have at this event is pretty limited.
Well, that's
as an organizer.
Intoxicating, but it is. Yeah. It is a power problem, and it's sad that so little power, like, oh, I get to organize Porkfest, gets to people's head like that, but
it could be.
It's just the nature of the ring.
Yeah, and hold on. I do want to kind of come to the defense of the people in that position to some extent, and I'm not going to
say
I agree with this.
They're not forced. They're not prisoners.
Yeah, I'm not going to say I fully agree with this. I'm just going to play devil's advocate here to some extent, in that these people have different groups they feel like they have to appease, right? So they are in this which is why I said to Dennis when we interviewed him for 4 hours, I said, I don't envy your position. It is not an easy thing to do. It is, in many cases, a thankless task because of the centralization of the sort of the nature of the event. They have all these plates up in the air. They have to keep, these different things have to happen, at least from their perspective. And they have these different interest groups that they have to make sure are appeased to some extent, whether those interest groups be the volunteers for the Porcupine Freedom Festival, whether those interest groups be different people or different groups of people who want to attend the festival and they're upset at some other group, like we talked about with Body Freedom Village versus some of the ultra, you know, maybe not ultra, but conservative type people that were going to be there. And it's not necessarily an easy position to be in. So I will give them that. But I think that is a nature of the centralization of this event. And could the event be as large without that centralization? I don't know. I don't know. ForkFest has never even come close to that. The biggest years for ForkFest were the wedding years, and we just had one of them this year with Matt and Nikki, our friends and co-hosts, who got married on Saturday, and they brought in 150 guests, and that brings a lot of numbers to the park, but those aren't people who are really, quote-unquote, there for ForkFest, but it does add numbers, and it does make it a lot more fun. So certainly having more people at ForkFest would be great. But it's been a challenge because, you know, it's never really been a big event. And I think that like vendors don't perceive, you know, they don't perceive it as being an event at which they can make money.
Make money, yeah.
And so we've never really had any serious,
I would love to go up there and do something. Like, I would love to run and I would just MC karaoke every night and make it very fun. Like, have Captain do his bar at my site or something like that. Well, he probably wouldn't want to listen to pop music. Anyways. I could run a bar. I don't care. But the thing is, I don't want to just leave Ian alone, and the government's not letting him go every year that I've lived here. So
yeah,
if the government allows Ian to go, then I would definitely put something on. I think I could convince a lot of people to do it. And with Mikey being banned, I mean, I at least know of one person that usually goes to ForkFest that didn't go this year and did go to ForkFest because he didn't want to support the tyrants.
There have been examples. I think one year Matt did some cooking, and he did very, very well. So, like, if one person shows up and cooks at ForkFest, then they get all the business.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're the only one, you'll probably do pretty well.
But it's like, you know, there's just not enough people, I think, showing up in general to where one person thinks that they can do that or whatever. I can't.
Do you know of anyone else, Mikey, that went to ForkFest or ForkFest this year but not ForkFest because of your situation?
I'm not aware of anyone who did that, but I'm sure there were people, and just in general, I wouldn't know, and I suspect there's going to be a lot more next year. And it's not, you know, it's not just me. This is beyond me, and I really hate that this is even about me. I just want to be a humble vendor and stuff. But you know, right. When injustice comes up, you have to stand up for that. And this thing about theft of services, that sounds like something a government would say.
Yeah,
you know, we're providing all these great services to you, and you're not paying taxes.
Yep, you're absolutely right about that, and that's one of the frustrating things to hear, especially when it's coming from a libertarian group that is supposed to be having the most libertarian camping festival out there, and I think a lot of that stuff seeps into it, and it's
one thing if Mikey went to RFK, and they paid RFK to be there and speak. It's another thing if Mikey goes and listens to the people who are not paid to be up there doing rants, and, you know, it's all like FSP. It didn't cost anything from FSP
for
Mikey to sit there.
Not, if he's standing up in the back, it costs nothing, right? Like, he didn't take any seats from somebody else who might have wanted to sit down, who was a paying client or whatever. And you know, I think it's just a difference in philosophy. When I ran the Keenevention here in Keene, which was a much smaller event, you know, we had maybe 130 people, I think, at peak Keenevention. I always had this... I had a policy to where, yeah, we have tickets. It's an event. We got to pay for the room, right? Like, we were at a hotel. It was a hotel-based kind of convention here at the Best Western in Keene, and the tickets were cost. It was low price as I could possibly get them, right? Like, what, we would take the cost of the room and divide it by you know, whatever, and then make that the ticket cost essentially. And but that said, I said, look, if somebody shows up and they can't afford the ticket, we let them in.
Because the main point of ForkFest and of an event like yours is to build community.
Right.
We all have a shared mission. I wouldn't be here if it was just hanging out with everyone. Mm-hmm. I would not even have been interested if it was, you can finally have friends. I'm sorry that that's the reason some people are here, but it's not the reason I'm here. Oh, you can finally have friends, like, because you are incapable of being friends with people who aren't libertarians. That's not me, and I don't think that's most people. And the reason that we do Porkfest is not just to hang out only. It's because people can go to the pavilion and understand, like, hear talks and understand more about what we believe. Doesn't really work when it's RFK or Vivek Ramaswamy up there talking.
No. In fact, somebody had said about the RFK thing today. Oh, what was it? They, there was a statement apparently that RFK made during his speech about, we live in a democracy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like you might expect him to say. And somebody's comment, I think it might have been, I don't know if it was Reed Coverdale or somebody, but they said, how was it that this guy got on stage at the Porcupine Freedom Festival and said that and was not booed from the audience? Not one, like, audience negative reaction to that. And the suggestion was, because the audience wasn't free staters. The audience wasn't libertarians. It was a bunch of outsiders who wanted to go see their favorite politician talk for the most part. Anything else, Mikey?
I could go on and on. I think we'll just see how it plays out, and I'd urge everyone to give Constance some space and not you know bother
pile
her
on.
If anything,
on
talk, you know, if anything, talk to the board, because this really goes back to the board at the end of the day, and you know, ask them questions and how they make these decisions and and stuff like that. It's just
that is a good point. I mean, did the board make any decisions here? Has the board been, you know, have they passed some sort of resolution or whatever? I mean, they are supposed to have minutes for their meetings, so someone who wanted to could probably dig those up and find out. And like
I've been researching those. I've been looking into those. I found information on your band, Cantwell's band, and stuff, and a lot of them are poorly recorded, but there is some records. But I'm starting to do some digging into the whole FSP operation, because you have to wonder about a lot of things that would take a whole hour phone call to talk about. But it's just very interesting and troubling in a lot of ways. Like what is the purpose of all this? Is it a self-governing society, or a bunch of people get to have a feudal manor?
It's a darn good question. Thank you for the call tonight, Mikey. I appreciate it. I'm sure you'll keep us up to date as things develop or not. And, of course, we'll continue to update you on Forkfest, which is going to happen in some form next year. There's the annual discussion amongst Forkfest attendees, which, again, is the alternative, the decentralized alternative to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Happens at the same park, not quite at the same time, usually before or after. But the usual discussion of, well, you know, how to go this year and what should it look like next year and should it be before? Should it be after? Should it be before and after? Should it be during? You know, like, so it's hard to know what, you know.
Unfortunately, they
say.
Won't allow it to be during anymore because
they're locking down the park.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. All right. We got more coming up here. Thank you, Mikey, for the call. And you can share your thoughts on Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Former President Trump is denying any wrongdoing and discussing classified documents with his staff and others after leaving office. In response to a 2021 CNN audio recording where he talks about keeping the documents, Trump says that he and his staff were occupied with various matters.
Copies of magazines, copies of different plans, copies of stories having to do with many, many subjects.
He recently pleaded not guilty to 37 counts related to the documents. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, the outgoing director of the CDC, is cautioning that the U.S. is not prepared for the next pandemic. In her New York Times op-ed today, she highlights a shortage of around 80,000 public health workers that are required to meet just basic needs. Costco plans to tighten membership sharing by requiring photo identification at self-checkout kiosks. They're aiming to prevent non-members from accessing the same benefits and pricing as paying members. John Schaefer, USA News.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show if you would like. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is digital cash. It is cryptocurrency designed to be used as an actual spendable thing. You can actually use Dash in real life. In a lot of cases, at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, at ForkFest, a lot of the vendors there are willing to accept cryptocurrency. And, of course, one of the ones that historically has been widely accepted is Dash. In fact, Dash was the main sponsor of the Porcupine Freedom Festival in previous years. And that's because of Dash's decentralized autonomous organization that was the world's first, by the way. Dash did it first before it's now a huge thing in the world of crypto. Dash paved the way on that one, and their Decentralized Autonomous Organization, or their DAO, continues to improve and promote Dash. And in fact, every month, 10% of the Dash mining rewards actually don't go to the miners. They go to this treasury, and then the masternodes, the Dash masternodes, which are people that have a large stake in Dash, and they can vote on these treasury proposals. That Dash can be used for different things like upgrading programming, creating all new things, and doing advertising like buying ads here on Free Talk Live, for instance. So it's been very, very successful so far, and Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies out there. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more over at dash.org. And a big thanks to the Dash DAO, their decentralized autonomous organization, for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. As we continue here, you can bring up anything you want. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
I've been hearing on the news that there's a whole bandit that are out to sue Amazon.
A bandit?
Well, I mean, there's a whole... In other words, there's a lot of people that want to sue Amazon.
Over what?
Well, that's why I think one of the reasons is that they have like if they signed up for a membership, they make it really hard to cancel out, or if they're very deceptive, they write the contract where people don't know what they're getting into.
Maybe I should get in on this. Sorry, Sarah, because this happened to me, basically. I got a Kindle, and at first I was in the Kindle Unlimited, and then when I was, like, switching everything over to different credit cards because of the fact that, like, I changed my last name, I don't know, something like that, I was looking over what all I had on all my, well, debit cards. I don't have any credit cards. I thought that I canceled my Kindle Unlimited plan. Because I was like, I don't really need this. Like, I'll just buy whatever book I want. And I'm still getting charged for it. It's like, now I gotta expend time and energy to go figure out what happened. But I thought, I mean, Ian and I sat down together and looked at our finances. And we thought that we canceled Kindle Unlimited.
And you were just hit for another charge?
Yeah, two more charges.
Whoa.
Since then.
Wait a minute, so how come Ian is finding out about this now, since I brought it up?
Just because I've been...
With the... okay.
Apparently Bonnie didn't tell me.
I just didn't tell him. I haven't thought about telling him. I don't know.
Well, no, did you know it's all on the news now?
No.
We're not talking about a couple of people. There's a whole bandit. That's what I was talking about. The bandit is a number of people.
A bandit? That's such a weird word. What I am seeing here in the news, though, is Slate did release a story today. Apparently, the federal government, those thugs, are targeting Amazon, claiming they've, quote, duped millions of consumers, and they are targeting them. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has now sued Amazon as of last week, saying the company tricked people into signing up for its premium service, Prime, and then deliberately made that service hard to cancel, they say. So is that the news you're talking about?
Yeah. That's the news that I was talking about. But I wanted to link this to what I wanted to bring up was that I was mad because Amazon was the site that black marketed or my network company product. So let me be like, oh, I don't have to buy that. I don't have to sign up the membership with you guys. I'm going to go to Amazon. I'm going to go and buy when I want to, how much I want to, and when I want to, because I got Amazon.
It's not really a black market.
Just to clarify, you're saying that you work for a network marketing company, and you're saying the company you work for's products are wrongfully against the company's rules being put on Amazon by sellers?
That's correct, and that's one of the things that I brought up. Is that they're black marketing. They're, like you said, that's what they're doing. And actually, it takes away the commissions from the people that are marketing it. We're the one that told them about how good the products work, how natural, whatever. And then they like it, and then now they'll go to Amazon and buy whatever they want without joining a membership with us.
Yeah.
And now the irony is that now they're locked into a membership with Amazon now, and they won't let them loose. Like I said, now they have to keep paying, and they have to get sued to get out of the lease that, the contract they signed up with Amazon itself. So the question is, how much is the membership per month to use that service?
The Prime membership?
I don't know off the top of my head. I haven't had Prime in a long time.
I think it's like $10 or $15 or something like that.
Well, I mean, that's not bad. That's why they'll pay twice as much, three times more money to get our laundry soap or cleaning products whenever they want to. But if they get something that they don't like, our company cannot guarantee it. Because it has to be, if they document exactly when it was shipped out from our company directly to it, has a record of it, they'll guarantee the 90 days. But if you buy it from an Amazon marketer, they'll just like, well, it's too bad. You lost your
Are they
money,
doing
so
it for the same price? Is the product
on? They're always a markup.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea Well, they're doing it for like maybe 2-3 times the markup, and people are willing to pay it. And the whole thing is, where are they getting these products? Because they you cannot order more than at the most 10 bottles of something, 10 bottles of per account per person.
Mm,
so
yeah, they must just be
ordering. What's weird about it is though, Sarah. I just think that the thing you work for, the MLM you work for, and all MLMs like that are just a weird type of, like, model, and nobody wants to buy things like that. If I had a choice to buy my mascara that I buy every month through someone who told me about it, and they get a commission for me buying it, and I have to buy it at a certain time, a certain way, or just going on Amazon and buying it when I want to buy it, I would choose that way because it's just not convenient, and I don't understand why MLMs even exist anymore, because most people just don't need that. They can go on the internet and research themselves and be like, oh, I found out blah, blah, blah oil is good for your hair. Now I'm going to go on Amazon to find the best possible price. I don't understand. Mm. I don't think it's a black market. I think that people have bought these things, and you can resell things on Amazon.
Yeah, you can. And I don't think Melaleuca can do anything about that. So I think what you're looking at here, I just pulled up one of the products. Oops, I accidentally said the name of the company that you work for, Sarah.
That's a mistake.
But
you've
said
radio.
It on the air.
Well, she didn't
say
it.
I'm not the one that said it.
You have said it before on the air. But anyway, yeah, you didn't say it. I by the way, I do not recommend these products. I don't know if they're any good at all. One of the things I do know about network marketing, having been in the business when I was much younger, 20 years ago, not in this particular company. I was with a different company. But one of the things I know for sure is that they jack the prices up on these network marketing products. And the reason why they do that is because they have to pay the downline. They have to pay, or the upline. They have to pay. So when you buy from Sarah or her roommate or whatever, they get a cut. Their upline gets a cut. Their upline gets a cut. Their upline gets a cut. You know, it's usually like, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever levels up the chain, the pyramid, that everybody gets paid.
It's not a pyramid.
Yeah, everybody gets it. Is absolutely.
It's a triangle, not a pyramid.
they all get paid, and so all of that payment has to be built into the cost of the product. Plus, the company itself has to make money. So, like, all of that has to be in that profit on that product.
Yeah. Whenever I worked for one of these MLMs in 2018, one of the things that they trained us on was like, if someone asks, why shouldn't I just buy this off Amazon for cheaper? Mm. Make sure you tell them that it could possibly be expired.
Well, okay, so here's the thing, though, Bonnie.
Right.
In this case, it's actually not cheaper on Amazon. So what I think that question might have been regarding was off-brand things that
weren't in it. Yes, when I worked for It Works, there were It Works things on Amazon for cheaper, and that was one of the things that kind of woke me up to, like, what the heck? Like, this can be bought off Amazon?
How could that be? If it's cheaper, that must mean somebody's just trying to clear out what they already have, because you can't.
Yeah, maybe somebody quit their job and they're just trying to get rid of it for cheaper.
Yeah. But here's what's actually happening here now with like if you were to want to put these products on Amazon in a continuous way, not where you just have like 10 bottles and you want to get rid of it, but where you want to keep selling them. The question on one of these products, you know how on Amazon they got the question and answer section. Somebody says, wow, can't believe this pricing. Why are these products priced so high? You can buy this product from the company for way less. It sells for just $7.47. The price they're charging on Amazon for this product is $15.99. And this is for, by the way, a half ounce of some sort of topical gel. Now, you know, this company's going to act like this is the greatest gel known to man. It's worth paying this much. But now they're charging double on the Amazon site than what the already inflated price is on the actual dealer, on the actual
company.
Things
make no sense. I mean, if it's just that worth it to somebody to not have to be in some kind of a...
That's what they're saying.
Like, the thing is, like, you might have to pay monthly for your membership to have the honor to buy from Sarah. You might have to buy a specific amount every month and not just be able to buy the one jar of the bottle.
That's the point. In fact, somebody answers that here. They say that somebody who responds to the question says, if you're a member of the company, you don't just get better pricing. Every month there's a requirement of so many points. Each item has a number of X points assigned, so you have to buy a certain number of their items every month. So if right. all you care about is just that one item, you don't need to buy. And what is the number, by the way, Sarah, with this company? How much do you have to spend per month?
Points.
And what is that, per dollar? Is it like 1 point per dollar?
Well, it's like maybe for $1, 1 point, it comes out to be about $1.80, around about. $1.50, $2, like around.
Oh, so it's about $2. So you're talking about it's $70 commitment then. You gotta order in at $70 a month in order to stay into
plus
this
shipping
system.
And handle shipping and tax.
Plus
so that you,
shipping
you
and tax?
Another $15, maybe $10.
Well, Sarah.
So you're in for $100.
Question, do you have to pay do you or Richard have to pay monthly in order to continue being sellers?
Almost certainly.
No, we're not sellers. We hook them up with a company. We don't deliver. We don't have a middleman. I'll hook you up. We could enroll you over the computer where... And then you just order what you're
going to use. Yeah, but Richard earns a fee for everybody that you hook up.
A percentage of what you order.
Yes.
But I'm asking a different question. Wait, I'm asking a different question than what you guys are talking about. Sarah, do you have to pay the company in order to do your job?
Well, the whole thing is that I'm a customer, okay, and I'm referring another customer. I'm a customer. I just order 35 points of what I'm going to use for me and my family.
The answer is yes. The answer is if Sarah does not order
really
the 35 points, what happens if you don't order the 35 points?
Well, if you don't order it, you're going to get a backup order until like 3 months and your account gets canceled out automatically.
Okay.
So then you wouldn't be able to keep recommending people?
Correct.
That's what you wind up canceling out. I just write a letter and I fax it in. I tell them I want to cancel out, and then they close you out by the end of the month.
Man. Well, that's really sad, Sarah. Honestly, it makes me sad. They're basically taking money from you. You could get this. If you know the ingredients that are in these things, you could just buy it in bulk on Amazon yourself. You wouldn't have to be doing all this work. You wouldn't have to be giving them labor and also buying $70 worth of stuff a month that you probably don't need.
Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah.
Good
luck.
Amazon, huh? Then they lock you into a membership fee, and then everybody has to sue them.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to have Amazon Prime to shop on Amazon.
That's the thing. You don't have to. They do push it. I mean, they definitely do push Amazon Prime on their customers, but it's not an obligation.
You also just don't have to shop on Amazon. You can buy laundry soap from Dollar General.
Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Sarah. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
This company is no better than the FBI preying on that retarded boy in Massachusetts to groom him into becoming a...
Which company?
Sarah's company.
Oh, okay.
We're preying on people like Sarah and Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Those people need a charge of scamming old people.
Mm. There have been network marketing companies that have been charged by the federal government for various different scams and things like that. But it hasn't made them go away.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, the very same executives from the companies who were being charged and prosecuted or whatever, civil cases brought by the FTC and others and the federal government gang, they just close up shop. And they move on to the next one.
Yeah, I guess I'll take it back. I don't really believe that they should get charged for tricking people. I just think that people need to educate people. It makes me sad to see this happening to Sarah, just because somebody could sit down with her and tell her, look, you want lavender dishwashing soap? Look, here's a company selling it for $8, not like 20. Here, Sarah, look at all this. If you look at this, if you, cut this part out, you're paying like $20 a month for your dish soap or whatever it is she said she buys for her family. And look, you can go get something with the same ingredients here, buy it one time or whenever you actually need it. I mean, it's just like...
But the propaganda from these companies is always that their ingredients are the best in the world and that it's worth it for the extra money.
It's definitely what Young Living does. They're like, we have the best lavender fields in Utah.
Yeah, good luck. I bet you if you took whatever that, what is it, the essential oil,
yeah,
essentially, if you took the essential oil from that company and you put it next to, like, the cheap version from Amazon and you did a blind test, I bet you it wouldn't. I bet you it wouldn't pass.
Yep, probably not. Well, the other thing is just the way that they get people into it. They're just so dishonest with what, like, I don't think the company can get sued for this because they're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Their people are doing it. Like
the associates,
when
I call them,
started working for It Works, mm-hmm, it's actually an extremely sad story. I just wasn't making enough money. I couldn't really save because I had a house I was renting on the military base I lived
right
at, which is like,
how old
expensive.
Were you?
21.
Mm-hmm. That's about, I got in, I think, when I was 19.
And, so I was, like, not making enough money. I made a, like, vision board, and I was like, I can't see a way that I get a second job or a second form of income. I'm just going to hope that the universe, like, puts it in front of me and helps me out.
Mm.
I made a vision board that said second job, among other things, mm-hmm, on it. And the next day, this lady that lived on the military base that I lived on messaged me on Facebook, I think that you would be a great fit to work with me on my company,
mm-hmm,
for my company. And I was like, whoa.
Not her company.
Like, she runs the company? And then, like, eventually found out it wasn't really her company, but I was still
right
a little like, oh, well, you know, this does sound like a good idea. I guess she meant her company.
My,
like,
independent distributorship with blah, blah, blah company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, after like a couple
and
of months.
You can do it too. You can set your own hours.
Oh, God. They were taking so much of my time and they were trying to make me not be posting anti-cop stuff on my Facebook. So that was actually like the last straw among many straws.
Mm-hmm. How long were you in it for?
Like 2 months. Mm. I either broke even or lost like $10.
You're smarter than me. Because I was in mine for a couple of years.
One of my friends helped me a lot because I was talking about it to him, and he was just like, what is the mechanism that makes your stomach shrink when you put the wrap on it? Because it works. Has a,
oh, God.
And I was like,
a body wrap or whatever?
Yeah. I was like, let me figure it out for you. And when I talked to my upline, and she couldn't explain it
uh-oh
to me, and I started telling my friend about it, I was like,
you just have to believe.
I was just like, well, I think it's like this. But and he was like, what did she tell you?
Mm.
And I was like, she doesn't seem to know, and it just made me, it made it, there, you, and then I started Googling, and there's just no answer. They don't, there's not some, like, I thought, oh, let me just Google that, and I'll get back to you on what it is. There was no answer. I was just putting essential oils on, I mean, like, I wasn't doing it often, I did it once to try it out, and I kind of convinced myself, probably placebo effect, that it worked. People will put this on, like, the night before their wedding, to, like, have a snatched belly instead of just working out and eating right.
I would like to recommend, and the nice thing is when you got into it, you could Google, right? Like, when I got into it, it was the late 1990s, and I don't think Google existed yet. The internet existed, but certainly didn't have the level of content that it does today. And there's a really great website called BehindMLM.com. I always like to bring it up when MLM comes up, multi-level marketing, network marketing. BehindMLM.com. This is the site, is how I learned about how these scammers, ultimately, some of these people, who set up these companies, they get taken down, they get sued or whatever, and then they just roll up another company. They start up over all over again with a different name and a different set of products, or even a similar set of products or whatever, and they just
go. Why do people find it impossible to be actually productive? I don't get it.
Well, this produces for the people who start these companies. I mean, these companies are, you know, multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar companies, in the case of like Amway, for instance, which has historically been like the top one in the United States. But BehindMLM.com is so great. They really need to add a search to this website. So if you have to search it through like just doing a Google on it, and you can look for the name of the company that you want. Like if you know how to do like a site search on Google. Or just search for Behind MLM and then the company name that you are researching. Like if your friend is coming to you and saying, hey, you should join my company. Well, just put it into Behind MLM. And these are like really well-researched articles on companies that many of them are just straight-up scams. They'll tell you if they're just a straight-up scam. Just to be clear, MLM itself isn't necessarily a scam. It's just kind of scammy. Like the way the business is set up, it's very culty. in many ways, very, very culty in many ways. Like to the point where some of them will tell you, hey, look, if you're friends and family don't want to join the company, they're not your friends and family, and you need to, like, cut them off.
Well, one time, oh, my God, I think I've told this on the air before, but one time the lady that was, like, my upline, I actually never met her. She lived in, like, North Carolina. Well, I met the one that got me into it, but her cousin that got her into it was, like, the lead of our
gold
group
level
or whatever. And she would, like, call me multiple times a week. Like, we had, like, little meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And one day she told me, like, who's, like, the most important person? Think of the most important person to you in your life. And at the time, I thought my little sister Elsbeth, who was, like, my best friend. She was like, imagine if Elsbeth was going to die if you didn't sell $100,000 worth of product. Wouldn't you do everything to make sure that happened?
Wow.
And I was like, well, yeah. And she was like, that's the kind of attitude you need to have about it all the time.
Yeah, that seems a little manipulative.
She was a little manipulative.
That is just wild. But yeah, that is absolutely what I would expect to hear from somebody like that in multi-level marketing. Very culty. And again, it's not to say they don't have some good products. It's not to say that. It's just they tend to be overpriced. It's not to say that their products aren't the best. Maybe they are. I don't know. It's very rare that any kind of independent studies are done on these things, right? Like, the companies themselves love to tout their products as the best, but how do you really know that? And even if they are the best, are they worth twice as much? Is the second best worth, you know, is the number one best twice as good? If it's twice the price or four times the price, is it four times as good? Highly doubtful. So we're going to continue here, and you can share your thoughts.
You know what the worst MLM is out of all of them?
Oh, that's going to be a tough title to give.
The military.
Do they give
recruiting? You got recruiters, you got a hierarchy, you got a cult.
I don't think it's the same thing. It's not really MLM. I mean, it is definitely culty, but there's only one level, right? The recruiters are the ones that recruit, and that's it. There's not, like, they're not getting a
bonus for getting people on. Probably not.
There's not three levels of recruiters above them who are all getting bonuses on the recruits. The number here, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. You know, since Sarah did bring up this Amazon story, I mean, it is kind of interesting. I think we should talk about it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Coming up here, did they make it too difficult to cancel the Prime membership? And should the government do something about it? Because they're suing them. It's Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.